The following is an encore presentation of one of many Financial Sense premium programs, which are available every week to premium subscribers only. For more information on premium subscriptions, go to our financialsense.com website and click on the subscribe link provided.
The Financial Sense Midweek Edition with Jim Poplava. Delving in-depth with authors and experts into the key economic issues.
Well, it's no secret that the internet has changed retailing. You no longer have to fight traffic, wait in lines to stay at the mall. Today, shopping can be as easy as just one click. Joining me on the program is Howard Davidowitz. He's chairman and sole stockholder of Davidowitz & Associates, a highly respected retail industry consulting and investment banking firm. Howard, let's talk about, maybe you might want to call it the Amazon effect, because we're seeing, like, for example, this past Christmas season, more and more consumers are shopping online. It's easier, it's convenient, not to mention the fact it's cheaper. So let's talk about that and how it's changed the world of retail.
Well, it's changed the world of retail dramatically. We used to have 16 major book chains in America. Amazon closed most of them down.
Wow.
We used to have, because of the size of assortment, convenience, and all the rest, and price. You know, the electronics business, we had these giant chains, Circuit City, and all the rest of them, Ultimate Electronics, Tweeter, and they're all in the tank. So there were so many businesses that Amazon has affected tremendously. Then when you look at the retail business, and you see Walmart investing billions of dollars to acquire companies in Silicon Valley, and as a matter of fact, Walmart has their own building in Silicon Valley. It's called Walmart Labs.
Wow.
If you speak to the CEO of Macy's, he'll tell you 80% of his capital budget is for online. That's where the business gains are. Also, the demographic trends with younger people. As older people die off, as we have more younger people, that's going to be tremendous for online sales because they grew up with this. So the future is online. It's been growing in double digits for 8 years, well into double digits. And that means we're going to have smaller stores. We're going to have stores closer to the people. It means we're going to close tens of thousands of stores. It means malls are going to go out of business, which they're in the process of doing. We're going to have massive changes in the retail landscape because of online sales. So the change is going to be tremendous, and it's going on right before our eyes right now. Walmart is building smaller stores, Target's building smaller stores, Staples, everybody's building smaller stores. They don't need those big stores because there's so much business being done online.
Howard, I remember when the VCR came out and DVDs, it said it was going to replace the movie theater. For a lot of individuals, going to the mall and shopping is sort of like a social experience. Will that go away, or is it going to morph and change?
It's not going to go away. Your point is very well taken. The mall is absolutely not going to disappear. But what is going to happen is we're going to close tons of them. In other words, we've got 400 or 500 very powerful malls in this country, extravaganzas, with 7-8 anchors, huge, huge malls, upscale. The wonderful experience you just described takes place in those malls and a few others. They're going to be fine, and that's Americana. That's always going to be here. Now we got another 600 or 700 malls that are donkey malls, one or two anchors, low-end, inconvenience, off the mall is so easy. You drive right up to your store, you go in, you do your shopping, you leave. Who the hell needs this beat-up old mall? Those are the ones that are going to close and become condominiums and hospitals, and they're going to be sold for the value of the land, which was bought at, you know, 1/50th of the price it's worth today. So the mall will close. The developer will take the value of the land and do something else. That's what's going to happen. But that shopping experience you described which is very important in America, is going to continue to be with us. It's just not going to be in so many places.
Howard, I remember Vegas many, many decades ago. It was mainly a place for adults. Then they said, wait a minute, there's a lot of adults that are married and they have kids, and they began to make, you know, bring in rides and bring in stuff to make it more family oriented. Are malls going to have to do that? In other words, they're going to turn it into an experience, a social experience. I'm seeing in the malls here, they've got railroad rides for the kids. And is it going to be more in that direction?
Malls are trying to do more of that. Now, one reason is entertainment you can't do on Amazon. Guess what? You can't go to the health club on Amazon. They don't give you a health club, right? You can buy a treadmill, but you can't get a health club experience at Amazon. You can't go to a dance class at Amazon, and you can't drive a little railroad around with your kid on Amazon. So malls are developing more entertainment venues, and one reason is because Amazon can't do that. That's one of the reasons they're doing it, and it's completely logical. And so you see more movie theaters and all of that in malls because that's what Amazon can do.
You know, it's amazing because Howard Schultz was commenting about the future of retailing, and he said, you know, Starbucks will be okay because you can't order a latte on Amazon.
Exactly. Exactly. Amazon is going to become so powerful. It's a market share driven company. It sinks market share, which is the way Sam Walton started. When I traveled to stores with Sam Walton many years ago, that's all he thought about. He was not worried about the pricing. He wanted to gain market share. And guess what happened when he was done? Of the top 100 discounters, all except Target was gone and Kmart is about to go, there was nothing left on the battlefield because he just sucked up all the market share. That is exactly the strategy that Amazon has. And I have to tell you, it's brilliant. It's working. No matter what the critics and analysts say, it's working and it's the way to go. And retailers are trying to emulate this because that's the fastest growing part of their business is online sales. There's a lot of doubts about how well they're going to do because they're stuck with all of this space. Do they have the culture to attract that kind of talent? That's why Amazon is buying all those companies in Silicon Valley. Can they really integrate that kind of talent? Some brilliant programmer comes to work on skates and he starts skating around your office. In a typical retail company, they say, give the guy a lobotomy and get him out of here. But in a technology company, he looks perfectly normal. He's in his shorts skating around. So there's a lot of big issues.
You know, one issue that you just said that really strikes me, there's a lot of real estate investment trusts that are listed on the stock exchange that are invested in all these malls.
Oh, yeah.
So it tells me that if you're an investor in REITs, you better know what you own because a lot of these malls are going to be vulnerable.
If you're an investor in REITs, you really better know what you own. And that is absolutely correct. There's going to be massive changes, and I think the REIT guys are getting it. And I think the shopping center developers are figuring this out about 15 years too late, but they're starting to figure it out. So, yes, there is a lot of risk, and there's a lot of risk out there for lenders. Don't forget, real estate is highly leveraged. So all these insurance companies and a lot of people who provided the debt for these giant real estate projects, they may have a lot of vulnerability too. So there's going to be a lot of questions as we go through this change.
You know, this kind of strikes me when you say that we're going to have fewer malls. Those that we do have will be more packed with, let's say, entertainment, movie theaters, rides like where they're putting in the malls here. But it also speaks, Howard, where we're seeing a movement with a younger generation that's more mobile. So that is really in line with the Amazon experience. But also they're moving to the inner city. We're finding they don't own cars.
Right.
They take the subway, the bus.
Right.
You're really talking about a change somewhat in our culture.
And that change in culture is driving retailers to change. Walmart is building smaller stores. The whole growth now, if you look at Walmart's growth in America, It's on urban stores, smaller, more convenient. That's a giant change. They built their whole business on these super centers, which is far out. Urban is becoming much more. Staples is building stores urban. Home Depot, Costco, everybody recognizes there's a massive trend to urbanization. The whole retail business was built on growth in the suburbs. We now have something diametrically opposed to that. Retailers are trying to adjust, but guess what? They're stuck with all this real estate. That's the problem. Amazon is not. They are. That's a big problem.
So as you look across this landscape, as retail consolidates, I remember going into Best Buy during the Christmas season, and Howard, one of the things that struck me is there were people there, but there weren't a lot of people walking out with merchandise. So they were sort of going there and maybe looking for what they were thinking of buying, but they were probably going to buy it someplace online where it was cheaper.
Right. Look, if you look at the business Best Buy's in, Radio Shack, the probability is they won't survive, right? I mean, H.H. Gregg, terrible, all right? Best Buy had a bad fourth quarter. Circuit City's out of business. Ultimate Electronics is out of business. CompUSA is out of business. Tweeter is out of business. All these companies are out of business. And, of course, Best Buy by far is best in class. You know, it's a $50 billion company. But at the end of the day, they're going to have major problems, and they're trying to do all kinds of things, including dramatically increasing their online sales, which they're doing. They've got Microsoft departments. They've got Samsung departments. They've got special merchandise from Samsung where they're the only ones that have it. They're doing all kinds of stuff. They're matching prices, blah, blah, blah. In spite of all of this, they had a bad fourth quarter. So what I'm saying is if you're in any business that sells a commodity, that's not different. Then the question for the consumer is, where can I buy it the cheapest? This is not rocket science. If you want a 40-inch Sony, you know exactly what you want. 40-inch Sony flat screen. All you have to do is get it on Amazon. You'll get it at 20% lower price. This sounds pretty sensible to me. Why do you have to bother? So that if you sell a commodity that can be sold anywhere, the only difference is price. Amazon doesn't have all these stores. They don't have to pay all these rents. They can sell it for less, and they can offer more assortment and more convenience. It just makes a lot of sense.
Let me throw something else out that we heard during the Christmas season, that Amazon is thinking of the idea of drones for delivery. I mean, yeah. What would that mean to UPS and FedEx?
I don't know if the drones for delivery are real or not. Bezos is a brilliant guy. You know, he's got I don't know about the drones for delivery, and I don't know if that was a publicity comment or not. I'm not so sure about drones delivering things. But, you know, I believe in the robots in the distribution centers, which he's actually using. He bought a robot company. The drones for delivery, I would say the book is out on drones for delivery.
You know, you talk about the savings that Amazon has. It doesn't have the brick-and-mortar payments.
Yeah.
But also, if in the warehouse they're using robots.
Robots, that's real.
That's a tremendous labor savings.
Tremendous. But you realize how efficient Amazon is. They're competing against a guy who's got all of these stores, right? He's paying all of these rents. He's got all these people working in the stores, right? Going on coffee breaks, having headaches, right? Chef shining their shoes. You know, guy's got a store. He's got a gazillion people there. He's got all of these stores, all this real estate, all this electricity, all the air conditioning, everything. They don't have that. Of course, they're building distribution centers everywhere because they want to have same-day delivery, and that makes sense to me. But they don't have the overheads. They can be how did Walmart become the 22nd largest economy in the world? How did Walmart get 11% of United States sales? Because they were more efficient. Their costs were lower. They could sell the same thing for less. That's what Amazon's doing. They've built a better mousetrap. They have done exactly what Walmart did. Or they've out-Walmart Walmart. And I think this is the place to be. I think this is the future. And all the brick-and-mortar retailers, like Walmart, are trying to get into it.
So if you take a look at who's going to be surviving, obviously if we're going to have these malls, they're going to be more entertainment-oriented. Does the Nordstrom, in other words, if you take the high-end market, a Coach, a Louis Vuitton, maybe a Nordstrom's, are they still around?
Sure. You see, if you look at our economy, and then you look at the high-end market, take our economy right now. Median family income 5 years ago, 57,000, now 51,000. The number of people in poverty has doubled. One out of six Americans is on poverty, one out of six, 1 inch away from poverty. We have doubled the number of people in poverty, and we spend more money than any time in our history, including a mentally deranged and mentally deficient stimulus program, where we spent $1 billion, and we're all going to have shovels for shovel-ready jobs. So we did everything. We spent all the money. We've doubled the national debt, and we've doubled the rate of poverty in this country, and the middle class is getting destroyed. It's shrinking. So who are the two growth areas? The biggest growth area is people in poverty. That means Family Dollar, Dollar General, Aldi Food, they're in great shape. That also means it's great to be in the upscale. 95% of the increase in wealth, 95% in the last 3 years went to the top 1%. That's a government number. 95% of the increase in wealth went to 1% of the country. I like Nordstrom's business. I think they're in good shape. I think if you appeal to that top 1%, that's a great place to be because that's where all the money is. And by the way, the top 10% does 45% of the spending. That's why Walmart is down four straight quarters, because they're trying to sell to middle-class people and lower-end people who have zero money. That's our problem. We have managed ourselves. And, of course, to add to all this, we have a mentally deranged health care plan that is a job killer. 2 million people are going to drop out of the labor force. 2 million, according to the government. They're going to drop out of the labor force. It's going to decimate the economy. This is the genius of our health care plan. It took genius to do this. So this is what we've done to ourselves.
So as I look at the fallout from this, obviously we're going to see fewer malls as more people move to the urban area.
Right.
We're also going to see real estate investment trusts be affected.
Yep.
So if you really want to look at this model of where we're moving, it's going to be the Amazons. It might be Coach, Louis Vuitton, Dollar General. I want to talk about also something else that we hear about. We've been hearing some terrible numbers. I think a lot of this has to do with income, but sometimes, Howard, when you hear, well, they didn't do that well last month, the weather. How much truth is there to weather in what happens in retail?
Well, I think it's always exaggerated. Look, we didn't have such terrible weather for Christmas. Where was the sales? Right? January is the least important month of the year. And so it's not that significant. The bottom line is this economy is not producing jobs. 77% of the jobs we produced last year are part-time poverty wage jobs. 77%! We don't have to, even though we've spent all the money and wasted it all on lunatic fringe things like the stimulus and every other wackadoodle project you've ever heard of, including the healthcare plan where we estimated we'd spend $900 billion. It's now up to $2.6 trillion, according to the government. It'll soon be $5 trillion, and the whole country will be broke, and 30 million people will still be uninsured. That's what I call mentally deranged and deficient, and that's what we've got. So we've wasted all of our money. We wasted all our capital. That's the problem. We're doing crazy stuff, and we're not addressing real problems of growth and how to do it. We're not doing that. We're worried about putting people on unemployment for 500 weeks, put them on unemployment forever. Great. That's the mentality of the way we're going, as opposed to building a sane capital society. We're not doing that. We're in the other direction. That's how we got the mentally deranged healthcare plan.
Howard, I'm going to go back to Amazon for a second because they don't have the brick and mortar. They're
right.
Saving costs there. They're using robotics.
Right.
Now, we are seeing manufacturing return back to
yep.
the U.S.
Yep.
But the Apple factory in Phoenix, Arizona is not going to be the same Apple factory or
no
the kind of factory. Instead of, Joe Sixpack putting a bumper
right.
or a soldering iron, it's going to be some guy with the lab coat operating a $20 million robot.
Exactly.
What does that say about our education system? Because a lot of manufacturers are complaining that they're looking for skilled workers and they can't find them.
This is the problem. As long as you are tied in with the teachers union, forget about education. Education's over. We can't educate anybody. This is our record. I mean, we're behind Zimbabwe. We're 22nd in math and science. As long as we are tied at the hip, and as long as the Democrats are tied at the hip, married at the hip to the teachers union, you forget about education. In New York City, you're a teacher, you rape a kid, you don't get fired, you're sitting there in what they call a rubber room. You're sitting in a room for 12 years drinking coffee and watching a flat screen TV because nobody proved you did anything. And this goes on with everybody. They don't upgrade the teachers. We can't test the teachers. We can't do anything. We can't close the bad schools. We got to expand the bad schools. We got a new mayor in New York. We got something working. A liberal mayor, crazy. So all I'm trying to say, we have charter schools. It's actually working. Of course, the unions don't like anything. So now he's got to give up on the charter schools. So you can forget about education in America as long as you have the teachers union. It is impossible for us to make any progress with the teachers union, and that's it.
Howard, what about a guy like Jeff Bezos and Amazon? What if somebody like him emerges in the education field? And this is where I think we may be heading. Somebody that comes on with an online course that actually
right.
creates a curriculum that is going to get you a job once you're done with it and bring the cost down. Because if you can do this online, you sort of can replicate part of the Amazon model. Number one, you don't have brick and mortar. You don't have the campuses.
Right.
You could do it more efficiently. You don't have the bureaucratic overhead that you have. Maybe that's where the next billionaire, maybe we ought to turn education over to Bezos.
And it's happening right now. As you know, we're doing more and more online education. It's happening now. So that to the extent, and it will happen. It's just like we're down to 6% of the labor force in union. It will all disappear. And the teachers union will disappear. Maybe not in my lifetime, but it's going to be gone because it's too insane for us to keep. So we'll have to make those changes. We cannot go forward with education the way we are now. The only thing that works in New York is charter schools. The union has announced we have to get rid of the charter. This is why we're behind Zimbabwe. It is impossible to make progress. So rubber rooms, we've got to find a way to get them out. By the way, it will definitely happen. It'll be online education. It'll be other things. And they will be out just like they're out in America. We won't be able to go on with the teachers union because we can't. I mean, the manufacturers have said, and just like you said, they can't hire anybody. These kids graduate, they don't know anything. It's an impossible situation, and it will go on until the whole country realizes and they're getting close to it. Wisconsin, there's a whole bunch of states who are really starting to deal with this. It just can't go on with the teachers union. We can't continue.
I agree. Well, listen, Howard, as we take away from this, really, Amazon, it's one of those companies. It almost reminds me of how Henry Ford came on the scene and changed manufacturing.
Right.
Amazon is one of those companies that's changing retailing.
It is.
The fallout? Less malls,
yeah.
Fewer malls, but they'll be more entertainment-oriented.
Right.
You better be careful on your real estate investment trust that you own. You better know what they own. And third, if you are going to own, own the most efficient cost producers in the high end.
Makes a lot of sense.
Howard, you always make sense. So I want to thank you for joining us here on the Financial Sense NewsHour. It's a pleasure always to speak with you. Great insights.
Have a great day, and thanks for the invitation.
That concludes my interview with Howard Davidovits. Always an expressive personality, but you know something? He's talking about a revolution that's basically taken place. You know, you had stores like Walmart that came in and changed the landscape and basically got rid of a lot of the local retail stores. Then you had somebody like Apple that came in and changed the music industry. Think of what they did to Borders. And then, of course, you know, you had Howard talk about what Amazon did. At one time, we had, 16 book chains around the country, 10 electronic chains. Look what has happened. And so this evolution is going to continue. And as it does, I think you're going to see a reshaping of the urban and suburban landscape. There are going to be fewer malls, and especially with the younger generation that are more oriented towards an urban setting. There's even in that urban setting where they don't have cars. I remember one of my first clients that I had from New York City. When he came out to California to retire, he bought a car, the first car he had owned in over 30 years, because he lived in Manhattan, worked for a giant publishing company. He walked to work. He didn't need a car. So the landscape is going to change, but one thing that will not change, and I can remember when the VCR came out and they thought, oh boy, this is going to end the movie theater, same thing with DVD, and it didn't. What happened is it just expanded revenues for Hollywood. It's not just the fact that you went to buy, or let's say you went out to the movies, if you liked a movie, you bought it, you rented it. In addition to seeing it first time at the movie theaters. So we're still going to have those big malls, but the big malls are going to be going the way of what happened in Vegas. 20 years ago, Vegas figured out, wait a minute, we have these adults coming here, they have families. So they start putting in rides, amusement things, shopping, all kinds of things to make the experience much better. And that's what you're going to see in these malls. There's just going to be fewer of them. And then also, when he talked about the disparity of wealth, the wide gap that happens in a fiat currency, especially when you debase the currency itself, it buys less purchasing power. And not to mention the fact that Robolution, which is coming, Amazon using robots in their warehouse centers, that's going to change as well as the education system. We live in a world of technological change. I think one of the things that we're going to have to get used to, that technological change is happening much more rapidly today. Every 4 or 5 years now, we're getting a technological revolution. Think of what you're doing today that you weren't doing 5 years ago. The real key now as an investor is find out those nuggets to invest in. As Howard mentioned, fewer malls. What is that going to mean for real estate? What is that going to mean for real estate investment trusts? It's going to affect a lot. And then also, with online retailing, what is that going to do to a lot of these stores? A lot of those middle stores are going to simply disappear. You're going to have the low-end market, the Dollar Generals, as he talked about. Amazon will become the next Walmart. And then you're also going to have those luxury chains, which will do well. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSN. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.
You've been listening to an encore presentation of one of our Financial Sense premium programs, which are available every week to premium subscribers only. For more information on premium subscriptions, go to our financialsense.com website and click on the subscribe link provided.